It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today, Tom Simoneau is presenting Verite Winery.
You bet, Verite. You got it, Jackson.
Well, Mike came up with that. I was saying Verite. No, I don't know. But then,
Verite.
Did you get my message?
Yes, I did. I called. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
and we have Pierre and Monique Seyon. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Perfect.
All right,
Seyon?
There we go.
Seyon.
Okay.
Seyon. Seyon.
Yeah. Okay.
French. We're French here. And we'll figure that out.
I thought it was Italian.
Yeah.
I'm Italian. Okay, go ahead.
So we were chatting about a year and a half ago out at Verite and talking. It was during harvest, and we were talking about the grapes hanging on the vine. And Pierre is a vigneron, and he was showing me how he has his people separate the clusters so that when you're picking, everything is like into the sun and perfectly ripening. And I went home that day, and Brenda thought I was crazy because I started separating my clusters and trying to make sure they were all just hanging perfectly, especially close to the house. So when we have friends come over, I can say, look how beautiful my vines are. So, Pierre, I've been meaning to have you on the show ever since, and welcome. And tell everybody about what you do.
Thank you very much, everybody. Yeah, I'm very happy to be here this evening with my wife, Monique, to explain a little bit what we have done for the last 22 years with the Jackson Family Wine. After meeting Barbara and Jed Jackson 25 years ago in Bordeaux, where we were working at the time.
And you're seven. How many generations, you say, were making wine?
I am the ninth generation.
Nine generations.
Yeah. And I have one of my ancestors, Jules Seyon, who created the Enology map of Armagnac. And he did import in 1875 the rootstock from America to rescue the European vineyard by grafting. Yeah.
I'd say that's deep into the wine.
I do want to interrupt before we get into tasting some of these great wines. I don't know if you guys heard. You must have. Gallo is paying $1.7 billion for 30 wine and spirits brands from Constellation, including Clos du Bois, Mark West. 30 wine and spirits brands.
Wow. Clos du Bois is included in that?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
I call it Clos de Cow, but that's a whole other issue. Did you hear about this?
I read about it this morning on the internet, and it's not unexpected. Constellation had spread itself awfully thin in terms of the marketing. It's a very, very large company.
Yeah.
They probably best to pare down, and Gallo has a marketing influence throughout the world of wine, and its very, very sophisticated marketing plans will certainly be able to handle the image as well as the history of things like Clos du Bois.
And I'll bet you the wineries that are in that purchase are going to feel very good about now being part of Gallo, because I hear just very good things about the management and what goes on when they purchase a different winery.
Sure, and one of the most sophisticated marketing companies in the world is Gallo. That was the real strength of Giulio Gallo making the wine and Ernest Gallo doing the marketing.
Selling
smart,
it.
Smart
yeah.
people.
Got to make it, and then you got to sell it.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of shaking the world of wine up today.
Yeah,
eh?
I think so. All right, back to Verite, and what do we got today? You've brought quite a selection.
Yes, I bought a selection of several wine I make in all around the world, because I'm not working only full-time at Verite. As you know, I'm French, and with Barbara and Jed Jackson, we acquired in 2003 a vineyard and a winery in Saint-Emilion next to Chateau Pavie, Ozone. It's called La Seigle, Chateau La Seigle. I bought this wine, Vicantes. Then there is another wine on the left is our Super Tuscan in Tuscany, in the Chianti region, because Tuscany could be from Bulgaria or the Chianti appellation. We have a fantastic estate called Tenuta di Arceno, and we have some Super Tuscan with a brand name is Arcanum. It's based on Cafran. Then I have 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, what I make at Verite, called Anacota, and this is 100% Cabernet Sauvignon from Nine Valley next to Peter Michael.
As far as Sonoma County,
is
Knights Valley. Knights Valley.
Is Knights Valley still Sonoma County?
Okay.
Is the far east appellation of Sonoma protected by the Mount Saint Helena? And of course, I have Verité Le Désir for the Cabernet Franc base made at Verité, where I create. But on top of that, I want to introduce this testing, if we test, with a fantastic Sauvignon Blanc done by my son-in-law, Fabian Crosi, who was an intern 5 years ago at Verité, made my daughter, and now, Monique, we have a grandchild, but also we have a Sauvignon Blanc.
How long have you been here?
22 years already.
Really?
22 years.
He's about to start. This is his 53rd harvest coming up?
The 2019 will be my 53rd harvest in my career.
He must have been growing grapes and making wine when he was like 12 years old.
Yeah, apparently. can we try the Sauvignon Blanc
first? Yeah, let's do that.
Yes,
let's pass that around.
All right. It's Pierre and Monique Seillon. The winery is Verité, and it is veritewines.com. And, wow, 22 years you've been here.
22 years since the end of 1997.
Wow.
Yes. And 1998 was my first vintage where I created Verité Wine with Jed Jackson and Barbara Mankey.
And the tribute to this Sauvignon Blanc is also a tribute to the next generation. Because, you know, when Pierre and I came 22 years ago, we had no idea what our children would do. Today, both of them are involved in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Up until 2 years ago, we didn't have any white in our portfolio, but now this is done. Because as Pierre just told you, Fabian joined the family. He's from Germany. He's making a fabulous Sauvignon Blanc that we are about to taste.
Mm. Mm.
That is unique.
Unique is the word.
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of... Oh,
you've been doing this for... 10 years now, and you can't even find the microphone.
I can't find the microphone. I can't find my knees either.
I can relate.
it reminds me a little bit of 1970s white Bordeaux, but with no Sémillon.
No Sémillon. Absolutely 100% Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah.
What makes this so unique, Dan? I can't even...
Well, there's a stony character in the aroma, that sort of mineral backed flavors. And then in the aftertaste, there's a little bit of acidic sort of lemon peel that needs to have a little time in bottle before it starts to develop. Right now, it's a little too young.
Tom. Yeah, this the grapefruit character, the acidity, good balance.
Yeah.
But it has a creaminess, too.
Yes, it has a lot of beautiful glycerol, we say, in technical words, in enology. And also, it has some grapefruit flavor. And it looks like a little bit some beautiful Sancerre.
It's more French in style, is it not?
Yeah.
Apparently, a little history from where you guys come from. Because Sancerre is kind of has this grapefruity thing. Mm-hmm. It's almost grassy, but not quite. You know, but with the creaminess, they stir in the lees? Oak?
Yeah, just a little bit. I cannot give you the secret what my son-in-law is doing. But he has an approach on his palette. Very elegant.
He stirs it with pencils.
But this wine has no name and no label yet.
Not yet.
So you are really among the first one to taste it.
So this is a 2018?
2016.
Yeah. You see how young he is for already almost 3 years old. And this is a beauty. The great white wine of Bordeaux, like La Rivière-Aubryant, etc., the top Sancerre, they can age 20, 30 years.
White wines that age.
You're right. There's no label, and on the back it says 2016 Research and Development Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes. Wow. And very soon you will have the label.
You get the name, right, you got to figure out the name.
Maybe after the show we can maybe start working on that.
Let me tell you, trying to find a name for a wine, every name is being used. So it's not the easiest thing. It takes a few bottles of wine to come up with a name.
Maybe you can give them some idea.
Yeah.
Why not this one going to have the baptism here?
Well, it's delicious and totally unique to me.
It is delicious. Yeah. And how many cases did he make? Is this tiny, tiny production?
This is about 600 cases.
Oh, that's a fair amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you be selling this at Verité?
No, yes, we have a different channel.
Yes, we've been selling it at the Spire House in Sonoma, where we can also show the Anacuta, the Chateau Lasseg, and Arcanum.
And where is that again?
This is on Highway 128.
Yeah.
This is where used to be the Fieldstone, and now Fieldstone Winery. This is where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we have a tasting room where you can taste these wines.
Uh-huh. And where does the name Verite come from? What does that mean?
This was done by Jed Jackson. Jed Jackson had an idea before he met me, before 1995. He had an idea to have a name for us, a special wine he was planning to make. For him, vérité, as you know, means the truth in French. And for Jess, his philosophy is to make a wine without compromise, to use his words. Wine without compromise means a wine who can capture the message of the soul immediately with the dominance of the terroir and the signature of the style of the vigneron. And when Jess invited me with Barbara to come and to do some work with him in 1996, we came in 1997. We have the first vintage in 1998. When it was a challenging year with El Nino, a lot of rain. But we create this one. And I create this one with the philosophy of the micro cru, who means a different type of soil. And I did make, I don't want to say a blend, build an architecture on the wine according to the difference on different energy where each component coming from the different type of soil. This is why Jess decide after tasting my first wine to name Verite.
Mm. Killer.
What else we got?
Well, we're going to taste. What should we taste next? Should we taste the...
Let's go to Italy, maybe.
We're going to go to Italy. That sounds fine to me.
This is a beautiful property owned by the Jackson family.
This is called Arcanum. Arcanum, it's a blend of majority Cabernet Franc, Merlot, a little bit Cabernet Sauvignon, sometimes a little bit of Sangiovese, it depends on the vintage. But these wines are on an estate exceptional on the hillside. And for me, the Chianti region reminds me the topography of the Sonoma, with very complex, with a lot of different type of soil, micro cru elevation. And I'm very pleased to show you this vintage.
So this is Tuscany, so it's central Italy?
Central Italy, but this is really southern Tuscany.
Yes.
It's just outside the district of Siena.
About 25 kilometers northeast of Siena.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So instead of having a lot of Sangiovese here, this is a super Tuscan, so it's the Bordeaux varieties. And you're saying Cabernet Franc. Let's get a little to you. Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon.
A little bit Cabernet Sauvignon as well, yeah. But the dominance is Cabernet Franc.
And it's a 2012 vintage.
Did it just get released?
Yeah, this one is on the market.
Beautiful nose.
Are you... I sometimes have a hard time with the accents because I'm not that smart. Did you say anything about what you're still doing some winemaking in France or you have vineyards?
Yeah, I do. Next 2 weeks, I will be back in France and Italy as well.
Oh, cool.
On the estate, yeah. I'm going about 3-4 times a year.
So they call him a flying winemaker. So he's flying from there to here and back. But when you're picking the grapes, aren't you here? I mean, Verite would be your main... gig, so to speak?
Verite, most of the time, starts the first week of September, sometimes mm-hmm. the second week, depends vintage variation. And in place, I have a very good team with viticulturists and winemakers. They are working with me more than 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly. I like to keep the people to understand my philosophy because after they become very proactive and we are on the same page. In Tuscany, in Saint-Emilion, and here in Sonoma.
So you have teams in each, each winery.
Yeah. Team and family.
And family.
Because yeah. Our son is in Saint-Emilion, and our daughter at Verite.
Jeez.
So it's the whole family is involved now.
Absolutely. Just like the second generation of the Jacksons. And mm-hmm. it's a very nice feeling, you know, for parents to see the kids taking over. This is yes. what is happening in both families.
Tom, explain this wine.
Well, you know, the medium body to this wine, I was expecting it to be a much bigger wine, but it has an elegance about it.
Cabernet Franc.
Yeah, the Cabernet Franc. Yeah.
Cabernet Franc.
There it is. It has a little bit of an old world aroma and kind of feel on the palate, but it's
bit.
Not. I don't know if I'd guess this to be from Italy. Would you, Dan?
Not the country of Italy, but the style. It leans more on its acidity. It has great acidity and needs to have a little bit more time in the bottle. It's very, very young. But I think the most impressive thing about this is that aromatic from the Cabernet Franc gives you the iron filings, a little bit of green and black olive. These are the savory elements of the Bordeaux family. And instead of having explosive fruit, it's got more of the savory fruit.
And the nice dusty tannin in the finish, just a nice cleanse the palate.
I got that, too.
Make you really want to have a rib steak or something.
You have to have food with this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy. You know, now that the finish is going on, mm-hmm. it is feeling a little more Italian. Mm-hmm. You know that, in that finish?
The aftertaste is very long with the spice. The spice are dancing now on the other end. The spice are dancing all the way along on the minerality and the fruit, you know. And this is a classy side of the Cabernet Franc when it's correctly ripe.
What year is this again?
2012.
Oh, my goodness.
And how much Cabernet Franc is in that?
About 65%.
So, and you are a Cabernet Franc fan,
I am a very Cabernet Franc fan, yeah.
All right, and so we're going to get together after the show one of these days and go to Cabernet Franc heaven. With Pierre.
And talk about Cabernet Franc heaven, because,
let's have Pierre talk
about it. What makes it so special?
I make always a very simple comparison when I compare Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Cabernet Franc. I say the Merlot is a beautiful texture, very soft when it's correctly done in terms of production in a vineyard and winemaking, but it's still, when it's young, very shy. It doesn't explode immediately. The Cabernet Sauvignon is the opposite. It's a macho, very macho. He doesn't hide anything. Like you said, he has a friend with a barrel most of the time, and he shows some excess of too many things. But the Cabernet Franc is more elegant, more subtil. It's very complex with a lot of spice.
Now, this is a 12, Dan. Dan, lay it down, Berger. Would you still lay it down?
I would lay it down, but I think that the one thing about this wine is so intriguing is that these secondary aromatics, which you don't actually you can't really smell until you have the glass open and swirl for a long time. So I would open this right away, put it in a decanter, and let it sit for about 4 hours to let it really get its legs.
Our guests today are from Verite Winery on California Wine Country, brought to you by the Bottle Barn and Della Tofola. Our guests are Pierre Seyon and his wife Monique. And it's a great story. They've been here 22 years, but they're still making wines in Italy and obviously France, but here in Sonoma County as well.
Right.
You have a tasting room?
Yes, we have. The tasting room is at Verite on Chalk Hill Road.
Chalk Hill Road.
And we can welcome people by appointment to just call the winery, 433-9000. And we can make an appointment and have an experience tasting this
wine. It's a beautiful facility to stop in, and the wines are exquisite. And if Pierre is around and you get him to walk you through the vineyard, he can wine and dine you with the best of them.
I'm sure. It's Verite, that's how it's pronounced, but it's spelled V-E-R-I-T-E, so it's veritewines.com. Some amazing wines we've taken a taste of so far.
We're going to go to France. We're going to go to Saint-Emilion.
And we were just in Italy, right?
Now we're going to France. Yeah, we were in Italy. We're going to France. We're on our way back. You know, we started over in the old world there. And this is a right bank Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauv.
Merlot, Cabernet Franc, and a little bit of Cabernet.
A little bit of Cabernet. On the right bank, that's where the Merlots are from, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Saint-Emilion is Cabernet Franc and Merlot.
Yes.
Is it cooler there? Is it the soil? What?
It's more continental rather than the left bank on the Médoc, and it's a fantastic place because we are on a very small area called La Côte de Saint-Emilion, where we have a lot of limestone. Our first neighbor are Chateau Pavie and Ozon and Angelus. On the plateau is more where is Chateau Figeac and Cheval Blanc, completely different soil. But we are on a facing southwest on the hillside of the Côte de Saint-Emilion.
Uh-huh.
The name of the chateau is Chateau Lafayette.
Yeah, and this wine, which is fantastic, and Monique and I were talking about the pricing, this wine is only $60 a bottle, and Barry's not here from Bottle Barn, but they've
had... his car broke down, I think.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't know.
Anyway, AAA, right? Come on, Barry.
Yeah.
But anyway, Monique was saying that some of the wines have, and she's not sure exactly what they have at Bottle Barn now, but you can go there and you can ask for Verite or this particular, again, what? How do we pronounce?
Lafayette.
Yeah, so ask for Barry Herbst.
Yeah, ask for Barry.
Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah, okay. At Bottle Barn, and he'll take you through
he'll
what
he'll take
they
you
have.
Through all of these beautiful wines that are available. And at $60, I know $60, people go, well, do I spend $60? If you were normally going to spend on a bottle like this, you'd be spending $120.
At least.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Dan, yeah, this is the way give me your thoughts.
Well, the Bordeaux market has changed radically in the last decade or maybe 20 years. The problem we've had here is that the East Coast has always understood Bordeaux better than the West Coast. When we get these fine wines, well, because that's all they through the period of the 1910, 20, 30 period.
Yeah, that's what they got.
They didn't get any California wine. So we grew up in California. They grew up on Bordeaux. But when you taste a Bordeaux wine of this caliber, this quality, this finesse, and it's bold without it being big. So it has boldness without heaviness.
And how do you do that, Pierre? Is it because of the growing region? Is that...
Yes, it's a growing region. Number one, I want to let you know, this is one of the vineyards in Saint-Emilion, including the first Grand Cru Classé. We have the oldest vine in the estate. Our vines are about 60 years old, in average.
In France?
In France, Chateau Lafayette.
In Bordeaux.
In Bordeaux. And we're in the right bank, you know. It's a perfect location on limestone for Merlot and Cafran, you know. The Cafran has an excellence also in the Loire Valley on the Tufo, White Rock, like the limestone.
And it's Cab Franc.
Cabernet Franc. Yeah.
Right.
And we use a little bit. We have one block on the top of the hill on Cabernet Sauvignon, very old vine. And according to the vintage, we blend between 3 and 5%.
So just a tiny amount.
Almost like
what we would do here with Cabernet Franc and Merlot into our Cabernets.
Well, part of this is the old saying about the cépage, what's in the vineyard. So if you don't have it in the vineyard, you can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a small percentage, then you use as much as you can use.
Right.
And 3 or 4% is good. Sometimes maybe a little bit more would be better, but you don't have it.
Yeah, but we have the Cafran, and we are developing more Cafran today, because I have a fascination for the Cafran all the way around the world.
And it's a great, great grape. It needs to have far more attention paid to it.
What happens in Sonoma County with Cab Franc?
A lot of it gets blended with Cabernet Sauvignon.
There are a few Cab Francs that are 100% Cabernet Franc or 90%. The problem is, unless you understand the grape, making it 100% is only a game. It has nothing to do with quality necessarily.
So what's the difference, I've asked this before, between, say, cabaret. Life's a cabaret! a Cabernet Sauvignon and a Cabernet.
Cabernet Franc is a little bit lighter, a little more aromatic. It has a violet character. The body is not quite as tannic. When you grow it, it almost looks identical in the vineyard, does it not, Pierre?
Yeah. And also the Cafran, according to this typicity of the elegance, finesse, spice, is the wine singing in the glass. It puts the people very happy.
Yeah, you
and
see,
very easy to drink, but you have a long aftertaste. It never leaves to you.
Yeah, I do like Cab Franc, and I'm not a huge Cabernet Sauvignon fan.
I'm all Bordeaux all the time. That's me.
Yeah.
Salmon, it's Bordeaux, Cab, whatever.
Yeah.
Cabernet Franc, there's a... Chapelet makes a really good
Cabernet Franc at Chapelet, but small quantities. But mostly the people who are making Cabernet Franc 100% or nearer to that are focusing on the fact that this is a grape variety that is not exactly like Cabernet Sauvignon. It does have uniqueness to it, and you can see that when you buy a bottle of red wine from Sancerre that's made essentially all from Cabernet Franc.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wine is not aged in barrels at all. And then the wine comes out, and it's got this tartness and this savory character, and it smells, and the aftertaste is like Cabernet Sauvignon, but it's not Cabernet Sauvignon with the tannins. The tannins are softer.
So I like the softer.
So let's spell out the name of the wine.
Lasse,
spell it out.
L-A-S-S-E Grave.
Grave?
Accent Grave. Grave.
I don't know.
It's French.
Yes, it is. Je m'appelle Steve. That's all I know.
They can all email the station. We can tell them where they can find it.
Le vin s'appelle Lasseg.
Lasseg.
Monique, tell us about the wines available at Verite. Are everything that you've brought in, even the ones made in France, Italy, everything is available there?
Verite, the wines from Verite are available at the tasting room at Verite. Now, the other wines that we are tasting today are available to taste and to purchase at Fieldstone Vineyards at the Spy Collection House.
On 128.
Which is where Fieldstone Winery used to be.
Right.
Sold. And now they have a tasting room there where some of your wines are
available. Absolutely. And there is a number.
Napa?
No, that's right across from Alexander Valley Vineyards and
Hannah
right
out
on
there.
128.
Yeah, right on 128.
Okay.
I can give you the number. I can give you the number to call. This is 800-544-7273.
Great. Let's move on because we want to make sure we get both of these. What are we going to taste next up here?
Next, we go here in Sonoma. We will taste the wine Anacota with 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. We are located at the foothill of the Mount St. Helena and next to Peter Michael Winery.
So, Peter Michael, so if you're driving out Alexander Valley,
Mount St. Helena,
right, and you're looking at Mount St. Helena and you're going toward Napa, before you get to the hill, There's a left turn where you could take to go to this trout fishing spot. People that drive that area.
Yeah, I know that.
You take that left, and right up there is Jess Jackson bought some property up there, and you were going to build a winery there, but those plans have changed, correct?
Yeah, so we created the vineyard in 96 and 97, and now I'm very pleased to show you the phase wine, 100% Cabernet Sauvignon from the... We are about 900 feet elevation with a slope facing southwest at about 15% slope, 15 to 20% slope. It's a fantastic location. Probably for me, after 22 years making wine in California, especially in Sonoma, I consider this location one of the best place probably in the world to grow Cabernet Sauvignon without excess of alcohol or without excess of too much of a ride, because we are facing the breeze of the Pacific Ocean coming every day, starting at between 5 and 6 p.m.,
sure,
who regulate the temperature.
Now, so this is a 13...
Let me just ask this. You mentioned Merlot, which you used to blend one of the previous wines.
Blasek.
Okay, and do you make 100% Merlot of any kind? Because I'm a big Merlot fan.
Yes, it's a good question. We can speak about 100% Merlot when we go to Verite.
All right, the next wine, we'll be talking that. This one, if you were to think about what's going on in Alexander Valley, so you're almost at 1,000 feet, and if you ever go up to that vineyard, you look to the east. You are looking right straight at Mount St. Helena. When you get up that high, you feel it. And those vineyards have been stunning, and people have been talking about those vineyards. And it was you and Jess that brought those vineyards back,
right?
Wasn't it kind of in disarray, so to speak, when he first bought those?
Yeah, when he bought that, I understood quickly his vision and understood this place could be someday. I'm speaking 22 years ago.
Yeah.
I was guessing at the time. And I was thinking we can make the top Cabernet Sauvignon probably in the world. Because I compare most of the time this Cabernet Sauvignon of Night Valley on the hillside where we are.
Night Valley,
we are in Night Valley with a Cabernet Sauvignon 100% Ben in Margaux or Cabernet Sauvignon in Pauillac.
Yeah. So that's left bank. Remember we were talking right bank
with the
French wine?
I thought that was Paris. The left bank and the right bank.
No, the right bank is the Saint Emilion and Pomerol. That's where Merlot and Cab Franc come from.
Okay,
it's cooler, heavier soils.
Like I said, Jean
and on the left
Steve,
bank, it's the Dordogne, Monique, that runs through there.
Dordogne,
the Dordogne.
Yes.
And on the left bank, that's your Medoc and That's what am I saying? Pouillac.
Margot,
Saint-Julien,
Margot,
Saint-Estèphe.
The big reds come from there. Okay, so now here we are in Sonoma County. Knights Valley is kind of like the, you know, the crazy sun or something. That no, you know, you get Knights Valley from Beringer, Cabernet Sauvignon, but there's great
if
Cabernet.
If you go all the way back to '79, the great example, '79 was a cold, cold vintage in Napa Valley. They couldn't make Cabernet Sauvignon, but in '79 they made a Knights Valley Cabernet Sauvignon, and it was wonderful.
So just looking at it gets me excited. Oh, my God. Look at that beautiful. It's a 13 vintage. What's the price on this?
This is $120.
Wow, $120. Okay, so this Anacota.
Right.
And where does that name come from? This is Sonoma County.
Yes, this was found by Jed Jackson as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, and this next one.
This is the first Verite wine that we're going to taste. Now, how many Verite wines? You have three or four?
I have three Verite wines.
Three Verite wines.
And the price point on this?
$410.
$410.
$410. I'm not spitting this wine.
No, I'm not dumping it, and I'm taking the rest of it home. This is my damn show, so get your hands
Wait
off,
a minute.
Seminole.
Wait a minute. I brought these guys. Anyway, we're not going to fight. So, Monique, can you tell us, just quickly summarize for the listeners, what brought you here and what brought you back and then back again?
So as Pierre mentioned, we came here 22 years ago after having met with Jed Jackson and Barbara Banky to start the Verite program. After a few years, Jess asked Pierre to go to a property they have in Italy, Tenuta di Arceno.
Property.
Okay.
And this is where Pierre started this program with Arcanum that we tasted before. And the year after, Jess and Barbara had a dream, and they wanted to buy something in France, a property, a chateau, probably in the Bordeaux region. And they asked Pierre and I to help them to find this place. Mm-hmm. And this is why today, you see, we are working in many regions of the world. But it was also for us a dream also to come back home, being partners in a very beautiful chateau in Saint-Emilion, Chateau La Seigue, which was a beautiful place we found, probably one of the best places in Saint-Emilion regarding the soil and the sun exposure. And the sun exposure, by the way, you can see it on the label of the wine, because what you see here is a sun dial which is on the facade of the chateau. So traditionally in Bordeaux you see an old chateau. On our label you see the picture of the sun dial which used to give the time to the workers in the very,
right,
very old
right. times. So that's why they've got Italian wines and French wines. And now we have Verite, and this one is called Le Désir.
Le Désir. Based on Cab Franc.
And it's Cab Franc. What's the blend?
61% Cabernet Franc, 31% Merlot, 4% Cabernet Sauvignon, and 4% Malbec.
And more than $400 for this
bottle. $410.
This is a sort of...
It's a steal at $410.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful wine.
Dan,
wow.
Your thoughts on this?
You have to steal it together.
It's a 2008 vintage.
This is a 2008, so this isn't the current release.
Yeah, this is not the current release.
No, it's a 2008.
Well, a wine like this needs to be decanted right away from the time it's released until even now. It's only, what is it? It's not even, it's only 11 years old. It's a baby. The thing about Cabernet Sauvignon when it's made with this kind of concentration is there are secondary and third type characteristics that really are embedded. You can't see them for at least 12 to 14 years. And this wine is made with such concentration but with beautiful aromatics underneath that. So you have an aftertaste that has not only the spice component of the fruit and the red fruits, but there's also the savory components which are adding to the wine. So as the time goes by, this is going to be a much better wine.
Tom?
I don't know how much better it could get. I mean, my mouth is watering.
But what? So it's 11 years old. Why decant it? What does that
mean? Well, look at the color. Some people wonder why.
It's very dark.
Why you decant something and you look at it and you know immediately that you could easily decant this.
My perception of the aftertaste is that there's more to come. Mm-hmm. And not every wine gives you that. Sometimes you find it, sometimes you don't. When you find it, you say, oh, I opened it too soon.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of times, the American palate is is drinking wine way too young.
Yeah.
And thank you for bringing this wine, you guys.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, wow.
And you know, for me, after almost 22 years making this wine with Jackson Family Wine for Verite, Anacotta, and the other wine around the world, after 22 years, I can see not only I've made 21 vintage, but I did learn what is the evolution of this wine in Sonoma County after 21 years. And I have a fantastic hope for the future, for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And I think today, after 52 vintage, I can say Sonoma County, on the appellation I'm focusing to make this blend, where I prefer to say build an architecture on this wine, I don't take a big risk to say Sonoma County is probably one of the best places in the world to grow and make Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Merlot.
Well, right,
probably the
wow.
best place in the world.
That's something.
All right.
For
we're out of time. Pierre Seyon and his wife Monique from Verite Winery, veritewines.com, here in our area. They also make a lot of wines in France, of course, and Italy. Pretty amazing stuff, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for bringing the $420 bottle of wine.
It's gone. I've already...
yeah, thanks. Tom Simoneau, Dan Berger, it's California Wine Country. Have a great night, everyone.